Today's scripture reading is from the second book of Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14, to chapter 14, verse 5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those who have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Loving God, we thank you that this is not simply ink on paper. We thank you that these are not some ancient documents, but rather it's your word breathed, spoken, guiding us. Thank you for your word of life. May we humble ourselves and be open to it in whatever way you guide. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I had you look at each other towards the beginning and say, "What's new, pussycat?" I won't have you do it again. But the singer who made those words famous, Tom Jones, is 70 years old. So I don't think he's going to be dancing like he used to. I understand. That's not old exactly. Amen. Amen. You know, somebody's going to be, this sister's going to grab me by the tie afterwards and say, "Hey, Pastor, watch it." He went to a particular place, however, for inspiration for his newest album. And surprise me, it was his little church in Wales that he grew up in. I thought that was kind of interesting. Little place there in Wales. He went back to that church and kind of remembered some of the songs that he sang. I don't know if there's necessarily any hymns on his new album, but at least it inspired him and guided him. I thought about that. How often is it something that we have experienced in our church life that has been an inspiration later on, that has guided us, that has filled us, that has encouraged us? I was reflecting back on just this past week here at the church. Whenever I was in the men's group, the men's Wednesday prayer fellowship. By the way, some of the fellows there are over 70 years old also. I don't mean to give away ages, but I don't think any of them particularly mind. So just a couple of them, just over. And then I stopped in to the women's Bible study. And I'm not even going to touch that one, okay? I may be dumb, but I ain't stupid. So I'm not going to touch that one. And just pulling from truly, and this is the best term that I can use to describe those groups. The wisdom out of those groups blessed me. I'm just giving a personal witness here. You know, the music this morning, our music department, have they blessed you like they've blessed me? I mean, is that fantastic? Let's go ahead and give it up for them. That is fantastic. Praise God. Praise God for our music department. You are really helping me to be able to worship today. So thank you. And I think everybody concurs with that. Wonderful job. So many different ways that God is just itching to minister to us, to speak to us, to fill us, to encourage us, just wanting to do it. What happens often is that we kind of go our own way and miss all of these wonderful opportunities. I've witnessed to the fact of being able to see God at work as a pastor. You know, I'm supposed to be thinking about God all the time. And I try to, whenever I get myself out of the way, more of God, less of Neil. But I also see those times whenever people rushed right by a blessing that God has in store for them. And there's not a whole lot that you can do. You can't say, hold it! Hey, didn't you just see that? You know, I mean, God was wanting to speak to you, or God was speaking to you, or God was sharing his grace with you, and you just were in your own little world, walking right by. I don't know how to get people's attention whenever they're doing that. I guess maybe someday I'll get it, but I don't understand yet. For those who have so much to give, that actually means each and every one here. We are called not only to share as disciples, but to help one another to be able to see God's blessing in our midst and not run right past it and not miss it. I was at a gathering and a cell phone went off. And it was at a quiet time. And it was one of those rings that's kind of a really funky tune. Do, 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 do. You know, something like, I won't do that again, but you know what I understand. You know what I'm saying. Was that good? Thank you. Thank you. And what happened was there was this. This red just, you know, shot up, color changed, a whole glow, just fumbling to shut that off, slamming the fist into the cell phone to stop it. There was such a quick response to that cell phone. And I thought to myself, wow, what if people responded that quickly to God? That God speaks. Wow. Okay, Lord. I'm going to follow. Yeah, I'm going to actually trust you. Oh, wow, God, you spoke to me in a really unexpected way. Do you think that God still speaks in unexpected ways? You know, he's spoken through a burning bush, actually spoke through a donkey, spoke through a lot of different surprising ways, biblically. He still does, but we need to be aware. I understand that being a Christian is hard work. It's challenging work. It's difficult work. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Being a Christian is not for sissies. But it's the most important thing that we can do and that we can be. The world needs good news now more than ever. And so therefore, our call to be channels of that grace, of that good news, the message of hope and grace and love, is more important now than ever. So we need to encourage one another and we need to build up one another. Craig Dietz is an attorney with the city of Pittsburgh. He recently completed a 2-mile swim. And as he was completing the 2-mile swim, he happened to be the last one in the water. And people started cheering him on and encouraging him. 2 miles, mind you. It's a lake back in Pennsylvania. What's amazing about this swim is that Craig Dietz has no arms or legs. One stump that he puts a flipper on, and he basically is on his back, flipping the whole way. 2 miles. But he made it. Then amazingly, just kind of hopped out of the water. And his mom and dad said, "Boy, are we proud of you." Those times, whenever we feel like we're not sure that we're going to make it as Christians, we are called to encourage one another. Last Sunday, I was talking about gratitude and being grateful, being able to see the blessings in our own lives. Well, this Sunday, we're going to be focused more on being able to help point out what others can be grateful for. Now, not banging them over the head, not grabbing them by the tie, but doing it in a way of love, doing it a way of support. We understand in the second letter of Paul to Timothy that Paul is encouraging Timothy in ministry. Timothy was the son of a Greek and Jewish woman who had become a Christian. And so he was someone who was still growing in his faith. And Paul knew that. Timothy was also dealing with difficult people in a church setting. I don't know what he's talking about as a pastor, because there are never any problems in a church anymore. But just stretch yourself. Stretch your minds just a bit to think about difficulties that there might be existing in a church. Timothy was dealing with difficult individuals and people, and Paul was writing to him, and Paul was writing to him in a very difficult place himself. Paul, you see, if we continue with the reading, okay, if we continue with this, where the scripture passage leaves off, Paul starts talking about people who have either abandoned him or gone on to other things. Now, isn't that amazing? Whenever you think about it, that Paul would be still encouraging to someone else after he had been abandoned, okay? After other people had left him, he was still wanting to encourage Timothy. I found that pretty amazing. That's why it's always important, whenever we have a scripture that's listed, to go ahead, take the bulletin home. I know that all of you do, and you memorize everything on it, the calendar, you study it. I can see that. Actually, some of you do it here, because there's a lot of them that are still here in the seats whenever you leave, so I know that you're memorizing that. But you can take it home. And then the scripture passages that are before and then after, what I'd like you to do is look at those, because sometimes it helps to put it in context. And for me, I think the very great power of this passage is that Paul, you know, he's gone through difficult things. It's not like Paul is in a great place. He's been beaten. He's been imprisoned. And yet he's still offering a word of encouragement. In fact, it's believed generally that this letter was written as a letter from Paul, in essence, saying goodbye to Timothy. It's kind of touching, kind of poignant. Certainly, he wanted Timothy to come and visit him, but was that particularly realistic? Probably not. And so he was saying goodbye. But in his final words, he still wanted to encourage this young Christian in the way and the walk. Think about one person right now that if you grew up in the church, one person in that church that you grew up in that blessed you, that you can remember to this day that spoke a word of grace to you, that encouraged you. Think about one person right now. I know I have somebody in my mind. Comes to mind right away. If you're newer to the faith, or if you've kind of come and go from church, that's okay. Think about one person that you would consider spiritual. Someone that reminds you of God. Think about one person. The power of this letter today and this scripture reading is the power of encouragement. And the church, my friends, has to be that kind of place. A place where we are cheering for one another to finish that 2-mile swim whenever we think it's impossible. Well, we are encouraging and building up one another through loss, through gain. Well, we are seeing one another as God's children, as fellow servants, as disciples, to be able to offer something that the world needs more than ever, a word of good news. We understand that there were an awful lot of false teachers that were starting to preach, a lot of individuals that were starting to go away from the Word of God. And what Paul says to Timothy is, be grounded in the Word. Now, that would have been the Hebrew Scriptures, most likely, in that era. But there is also proof to say that some of the New Testament, or what we consider the New Testament, would have been around or would have been available, maybe some of the letters possibly, to pull from. Nonetheless, Paul is saying to Timothy, the Word of God is a foundation, is a basis. I have the privilege of talking to individuals all the time who come and would like to learn a little bit more about God or deepen their faith. And one of the first questions I ask is, do you have a Bible that you find readable? And that question has kind of changed over the years. Because at first, do you have a Bible? I think so, yeah. They gave me one, and it's in a wooden box. I'm not sure where it is. Oh, it's under that table. That's right, it's the perfect height to kind of balance it and just kind of keep it straight. Those are actually all actual responses. Not from anybody here, of course, but over the years in ministry. And so the Word of God, in a readable form, in something that we can actually read and look at and soak in, is essential. And that's a starting point. And it's a starting point because God speaks through that Word. The translation that our brother shared is one that I appreciate because it talks about the Word being God-breathed. And the Greek term there is probably most appropriately translated, breathed. Whenever God breathes in Scripture, in the Bible, He creates something. God speaks, in other words, breath comes out and something happens. So, if this Word is God-breathed, then that means as we take it in, something's happening. As God speaks to us, as we're reading these words, something is taking place. God is speaking to us and reminding us that we belong to Him, that we're His children, that we are His people. Can I say definitively, without question, without doubt, what God is saying to each and every one of you? No. Can you come to me and say, you know, I'm struggling with this passage. What do you think? Sure, I can pray with you, pray over it, and then we can talk and share. Absolutely. But the Word of God is so alive and vibrant and powerful and grace-filled and love-guided that for each of us, it speaks to us where we're at. If you feel like you're in the darkest place that you've ever been, guess what? The Word of God is speaking to you there as well. Speaking to you words of hope speaking to you words of grace. There's a phrase, and I like this phrase. I wanted to be able to share it with you. It says, when we read the Bible reads us. There was a quote by the actor Ian McKellen on the Today Show when he said, quote, I've often thought the Bible should have a disclaimer in the front saying that it is fiction. It's another story of a chaplain going on a pastoral visit to a dying patient. And the pastor took the patient's hand and started reading, The Lord is my light, Psalm 27:1. But before finishing the sentence, the dying patient, holding his hand tighter and tighter, said, and my salvation, whom shall I fear? She finished the quote, the word breathed, speaking, saying something to her right then. It continued in this manner, the chaplain going back and forth with this patient, seemingly wanting to offer words of comfort from the scripture, and that sister in Christ finishing each and every one. You see, God was speaking to her right there in that place where it would seemingly be very dark, a word of hope from his living word. My friends, the word is something that we are called to allow sink in to the most intimate places where maybe we don't let anything else sink in. There's another quote that says there should be a warning in the front of the Bible. It is so true that it will read you. Do not read it alone. You are outmatched. As we read the Bible, we discover that above all, we are outmatched by the love and grace of God. As we read the Bible, we discover that above all, we are outmatched by the love and grace of God. Do you hear that? Do you understand that? From His Word. A God who has given us His Word and His Son, that we might have eternal life and hope for us. As those who are people of the Word, for us, as those who are called to be God's church, for those, all of us, called to be encouragers of one another, remembering not only today on our 20th anniversary, those who have gone on before, but remembering in the back of our minds those who have blessed us as we've grown up, and remembering also that we are called now to be those blessing others, encouraging others as they continue on their faith journey. What an awesome message to hold in and to know. Paul wrote to Timothy, encouraging him, wanting to strengthen him for a very, very difficult task, but for the most worthwhile task, building God's kingdom. May we each, as we continue in our journey, encourage one another for that very same task. As we enter into a time of reflection and prayer right now this morning, I would invite you to take a few moments with me just to reflect on not only who has blessed you and mentored you in your faith, but also maybe be thinking about somebody that God has put on your heart to mentor, to encourage. And maybe it's happened again and again, and this person just keeps coming to mind and you're not exactly sure why. Well, maybe God is asking you to speak to them. It might not be somebody younger. It might be somebody older. Be open to this time of prayer right now and how God speaks to you as His people.